want to welcome you all this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose birth we commemorate today as a tradition. I know that Jerry's put in a lot of time to prayerful thought to bring to us a message today, and I ask that you would say a silent prayer for him and for us as well, that we would be here to receive the words that the Lord's put on his heart. So with that, I'll turn the service over to you, Jerry.
Thank you, Benny. And again, I want to welcome you and greet each of you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. It's an interesting time we live in, and I think it's a privilege to be able to come before you today, actually on this day that the Christian world, you know, celebrates Christ's birth, Christmas morning. And I'd like to begin by reading out of Luke, the second chapter. It's a reading that's real familiar to us. I'm going to start with the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this tax was first when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Hope you'll excuse me today. I kind of have a frog in my throat also. We sing a song that tells us the same tale, the away in a manger. away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. And I, you know, it's so easy to sometimes read through words or sing them, and yet today I would stop and think about it. A manger's not a bed. You know, it's not a baby crib. I remember when we were young and expecting our first baby, we went out and made one of those all-important decisions, you know. We were buying a crib. Should it be this style or that style or, you know. It's funny how it's such a big decision. It's hard to identify with the lowliness of Christ's birth. It's hard to realize that this was a manger is a what would you call it? It's like a trough or a rack made to hold hay for the stock. And that's where Jesus was laid. Wasn't it a warm home? There was no room. There was no hotel. There was no inn where there was room for them. Jesus was born into this world in a stable. He was laid upon a manger in swaddling clothes. These aren't Pampers or Loves or cute little baby clothes from the baby shower that you had earlier on. These were just pieces of cloth wrapped around Jesus. It was a lowly birth. And I you see yet the glory of God that surrounded this birth, and how these shepherds, you know, were, the message was brought to them. This was no ordinary day to them. When this angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. I mean, this was not, why were they afraid? This wasn't yesterday or the day before. This was unlike anything they'd ever experienced. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And when I think of Christ's lowly birth, and when I think of his life, the things he went through these words, "fear not," begin to take on a whole new meaning to me. The fact that Jesus the very kingdom of heaven and earth had nothing of this earth. Why would we fear? He faced every temptation. Why should we fear? He faced the wickedness of man. And he asks us to do the same. I'm going to turn over to John, the 12th chapter. I'm actually going to try to be fairly brief today. John, the 12th chapter. I'm going to start reading with the 9th verse. And this is where Jesus enters into Jerusalem. Ninth verse of the 12th chapter of John, St. John. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. So you see here as background when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, those who were in power actually sought to take away Jesus' life and Lazarus' life because they were winning the faith of the people. They wanted to follow Jesus, not them. And so this was the great evil in their heart as he entered into Jerusalem. Let me go on reading at the 12th chapter. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was come to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, the king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. And these things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. They'd actually, his disciples had lived through the things that were prophesied. And this particular prophecy, this saying that was written, was over 700 years old. It was from Isaiah. And yet, they lived through that coming to pass and didn't recognize it at first. Until it says, you know, that he was glorified, but that we know that that means he was... lifted up on the cross. He was killed. He was scourged. And after that was over, as they looked back, they began to realize that they had actually lived through the fulfilling of the prophecies with him. Verse 17, And the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and dwelleth and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, He will my Father honor. Him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. I'm going to leave off talking there, just reading there just for a moment to look at this. He realizes that this is the time that he came to fulfill. That he's about to be taken and scourged, brought before the judges, and lifted up on the cross. And he doesn't want to do this, but he knows that that's what he's supposed to do. It's the will of his Father. And he realizes that in giving this sacrifice, his life, it's like when you plant, you know, a grain of corn that as it dies and goes into the ground, that it sprouts and it grows up and yields many, many. Bears much fruit. And as I think about his example, what he did for us, what is it we would fear? That he would go that far for us. Why would we fear to follow? Because that's where his servants are. They follow him. They go where he is. Verse 28, I'll start reading again. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Jesus abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light. While ye may be the children of light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, And he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not in me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, that I should say, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And I think of those words again, fear not. All this was done for our sake. Even as it says in that 30th verse, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. He laid down his life for our sake. And as I consider myself, what would it be that I would fear? Would it be the lack of money? You know, he didn't have those things. Would I fear a lack of peace? Personal safety. Lack of personal safety. He didn't have that. Would I fear the loss of my home? He was born in a manger. There was no room for him in the inn. He was born in a stable. I remember when I was a kid, thinking about, what brought me to faith, I guess. Thinking about some of that this week. I used to really seek answers of the Lord. I used to really pray and ask for answers. And yet I would kind of hit a wall personally. It's just this tiniest little fear. It was like the last thing that I had trouble losing. This little fear that what if he told me clearly the answer that I was seeking, and it was what I didn't want. Could I actually give up my will to do his? And as we find here, the end of the story, the Lord wins. Those that sought to seek to take away his life, if they felt any victory at all when they crucified him, all that was lost in the end. We are here but for one purpose. We're given this moment of life to make a decision to live for him or to be lost. To achieve the gift of the glory of heaven through his atonement by making the choice to follow him and be his servant. And I think, even as we sit here together today, maybe the first time you hear this, you may not be at the original phone conference, or you might even hear this on CD or something, but it's a moment of light where you sit and you hear the scriptures expounded. And if there's a decision to be made in your life, don't put it off. This is real clear that We need to make decisions. We need to choose to follow Him while the light is with us. While we understand, we need to make that step. We need to fear not and go ahead and choose to follow Him. Lay everything else down and follow Him. In the end, those who do not, the judgment for them is harsh. In the end, they'll be found lacking. Romans, 12th chapter. I just wanted to read the first three verses here. First verse, chapter 12 of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I also want to turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. And I'm going to start reading with the first verse. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of a briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. And I'd like to turn over to Alma, the fifth chapter. And I think I'm going to start with the 26th verse.
What's
on page 320. It's the fifth chapter of Alma, and it's the 26th verse. It's in my Book of Mormon, it's on page 324.
What page?
I'm sorry?
What page? Katie was sneezing. I'm sorry. What page?
324.
Thank you.
Yea, I say unto you, come, and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. Yea, come and go forth, and shew unto God that you are willing to repent of your sins, and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments, and witness it unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. And whoso doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God from thenceforth, the same will remember that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which testifieth in me. And now, my beloved brethren, do you believe these things? Behold, I say unto you, yea, I know that you believe them. And the way that I know that you believe them is by the manifestation of the Spirit, which is in me. And because your faith is strong concerning that, yea, concerning the things which I have spoken, great is my joy. And I have to confess that in my life, there's been more than once that I've needed to turn my life around. I didn't again enter into the waters of baptism, but I had to lay down all the, what should I say, the thorns of sin that I had taken up, all the weight of sin and all the cares that I had taken up that weren't necessarily sin, they were just distraction. I'd gotten my priorities messed up in my work, in the time that I spend in this life, spending it in the wrong areas. And I had to, in a great sense, even as when I was baptized, I had to lay those things aside and return to Him. In almost in the same sense, be born again. Renew my dedication, renew my connection with him. If you hear these words and you're drawing close to God, even in this moment, if your heart's drawn to him, realize that that's, you know, his Holy Spirit beckoning you, that he is the light. And when you're close to him, that's the time to commit, to draw closer to him, to lay down everything else and to follow him. It's the time when you're best guided in making decisions and deciding priorities. Seek him while he may be found. Don't wander away into forbidden paths. Don't partake of the darkness that confuses you and leads you away. I think of this year that we have laid out before him, or laid out before us and before him. What will it be for us? We're not guaranteed to last through the whole year, even. That's not really what I'm saying. I'm just saying look at the opportunity of this moment of life that He's given us. Seek His will. Fear not to follow Him, because anything else is loss. Anything else except to follow Him is destruction, is death. So seek His will. Seek Him. I think, how will you give yourself a living sacrifice this coming year? The other thing I would say is to don't procrastinate your day of decision. Follow Him. Give Him your all while you're young. While you still have energy. Don't partake of the things that leave the scars, the wounds of life. When you're young, there's a sense that, well, you know, I might miss out. I might miss something. But to miss something is to not follow Him. There's nothing else. There's nothing else to gain. In the end, you take nothing with you. You either gain life eternal with Him, or you lose that life. So as you face this coming year, know that with His light, with His guidance, you can face this God-given moment of life without fear. Born again, a new being in Him. May God bless us, each and every one of us, and guide us throughout this year. I'm so grateful for the time we've had together. And the whole end of the story is what we celebrate today. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the atonement that He made for us. We ourselves, this earth that we stand on, all were made by the Lord. They're all His. And He's the Lord our God, and there's none else. So there's not really another choice but to serve Him. Make that choice and don't put it off. God bless each of and every one of you. Thank you.